Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Christine Mackie undertook an intriguing assignment for the Sideways Walking and Art Festival in Belgium in August 2012. She carried a portable laboratory cum studio to undertake a study of invasive plants along the Sideways route through semi-rural, semi-suburban Flanders. Working with two botanists, she selected and catalogued a number of plants, concurrently recording her journey through video, still and sound recording instruments, produce a multimedia installation in a barn in Turnhout. The interview was recorded on site at Turnhout. How you came to approach Sideways and conceive the project that you have centred here?
The title of the project is Ecological Dispersals, and it's actually a term used in ecology to describe the migratory patterns of plants. And I thought that was a kind of fitting title for Sideways in terms of the notion of movement and crossings and travelling in a transient way between places and with people. So I've sort of used it also as a kind of metaphor for the migration of people, and have kept it quite open, so try to look at it in a very kind of positive way, because there's a lot of negativity in terms of the migration of plants, in terms of the word, technical word that's used, of course, is invasive species. And if you were to describe a person as an invasive species, you know, you would be considered quite fascist, I think. So I was interested in how that could be turned on its head a bit and to look at it in a kind of positive way. Then I spent some time thinking about the project, the process for Sideways, and one of the things that I wanted to do was to work with botanists. So I had a very nice 2.5 days walking with two different botanists, spending time out in the open and stopping and looking. And it turned out that the first botanist, Gertz, we both had the same books. He had the Dutch version, obviously, and I had the English version. So we were able to cross-reference with each other. So I would say page 56, and he'd go page 56, and then it would be flower number 3, and then we'd start engaging both with the book and the plant itself.
Can you remember what the book was?
A Collins wildflower book. It's a very common one. It's really, really common. But of course, there were certain plants in his book, I think, that weren't in my book. We definitely found plants that I didn't know about previously and that are definitely not in my book, like the candlestick plant, which is not its proper name. It's a localized name. And that was my starting point. And then I was just going to let whatever else happen and not control the project too much, because I'd just come out of a major project on the politics of seeds, which was a very kind of intense working process in terms of looking at the GMO and patency laws and looking at international and national relationships in terms of the controlment of seeds and heritage seeds and making contacts with international seed savers. So I wanted to do something quite fluid and not so well presented, and just be quite spontaneous in a way.
And are you trained in ecology?
Not at all, no, but I'm trying to merge. I have been for the last number of years merging my practice with ecology and arts. I'm very interested in Guattari's three ecologies, social, environment, the mental. So I follow him a bit in terms of his reading of ecology, and then of course Bruno Latour, and there's a few others, Desertu, walking, very important. That was probably the most influential book in terms of rethinking practice, and rethinking practice in terms of movement, and rethinking practice in terms of activities. I'm really interested in activities and developing work that creates an activity, whether it's an activity that I do or whether it's an activity like I did here, in terms of people can get involved with and somehow leave a mark, and there's an exchange and there's a learning, or the possibility of a learning process.
You went along the path.
I did.
Choosing or selecting plants that you liked, or any species? I mean, there are lots of them around.
But there was lots of them around.
How did you select them?
First of all, I was just completely taken aback that there were so many still in bloom, because in Ireland we've had such a bad summer that the plants came out quite late and some didn't come out at all. I had heard that the weather in Belgium had been quite bad, so I wasn't expecting to see so many plants, so it was fantastic. And there was obviously some plants that would just stand out, like the tansy. It was just beautiful, like a whole line of tansies on a ditch. And they're just such strong, elegant flowers. They were amazing. We did look for some invasive species, which we did find, which are quite common in Ireland as well. So I think they're common everywhere. It's just commonplace, really. And the second botanist, Rosemary, had a lovely expression. She was calling them plants that escape. These are plants, escape plants. So we were kind of playing around with that idea. Again, it was kind of tied into somebody's idea about, Davida's idea about sound. Sound doesn't know any barriers. It doesn't recognize any borders. And in a way, plants don't either. They move between spaces. And we are we carry the plants, actually. We're the ones who move them.
Okay, so we're walking along the path. You are making some selection. And then you picked up a specimen of this.
I did.
Shocking, but nonetheless.
I did check first whether it was regarded as a rare or vulnerable species before I picked anything.
Right,
because I'm aware of that at home.
So these were very much common?
These were very much common. And I didn't pick the candlestick plant because I didn't see very many of them. So I decided not to pick that one.
And you labelled them?
Yes, we labelled them.
In what way? I mean,
Had little small labels with tie string, and Gertz put the Dutch name. And I think for some he had Latin, because he had one of his Latin books with him, and then English.
You're a woman who carries a mobile studio.
Yeah, I'm interested. Yeah, it didn't quite work, but I'll do it again. I'm interested in this idea that you could carry a studio and that you have the tools and the equipment needed to carry out lots of different kinds of experiments. It didn't necessarily work because some of the equipment didn't actually function as it should have. It actually needs Wi-Fi. It needs to be connected for some of the equipment to work properly. It needs to be connected, Wi-Fi. So that's kind of interesting. So then I resorted back to my normal pencil and sketchbook, actually. So I always carry one of those in case anything doesn't work. And then, of course, I had my camera and little mobile printer, which actually came in quite handy in the end. So this was the first time I thought about carrying a studio on my back. So I'll do that and rethink it.
Just run through what goes into a mobile studio. So you mentioned a printer. Someone pointed out you had a Polaroid camera.
It's an independent Polaroid printer about the size of your iPod. And that hooks up to any camera.
You had a stills camera?
And I had a Canon digital stills camera, and I had a GPS camera. I had two cameras with me. And I also had a video camera. A little tiny little, as you call it, a spy camera.
Which you hung around your neck?
Yes, I had a brace, and it can stabilise it on this chest brace and wear it on you as you walk. So I was interested. I really like the idea of the movement being recorded, and you can't actually see what you're recording, so you're completely blind. So that's kind of interesting. So you're experiencing the landscape as well as recording it, but you're not being distracted by the machine, because you're not looking through the machine in order to see the landscape or experience the landscape.
You also had a couple of microphones or
I had my audio recorder, headphones, I had a digital pen and the sketchbook for that, which I attempted to use, but people were just too busy, because I wanted to pass the digital pen around with the sketchbook and get people to do different sketches on their route. There wasn't really time.
Yeah.
But I think that could be something I could develop on another walk, actually. I think it could be very nice thing to do.
And so for the installation itself, there's a map of Belgium, photographs that you've taken, a notebook with a line drawing of a GPS track.
With the route, yeah.
With the route, and then obviously the plant specimens on display.
And a video.
And a video running.
And a video running.
Gosh, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. I tend to work in a multimedia way. I don't like focusing on any one medium.
Yeah.
I like to bring a lot of different kind of mediums in that can work or not work together. I like to create spaces that are kind of dynamic. And I think a way to do that is to test out different ways of presenting work rather than representing something.
Has the walking been a consistent element in the work you've done in the past, or is it something that you've sort of come to recently?
I've been doing it for the last few years in two specific projects. One was called Riverworks, which was a two-year project where I engaged with a river route through this town of Sligo, and I explored it on foot and met people, interviewed people, collected data, as I call it, and made a response work, and that work manifest as a book. And then I've just nearly finished another project where I tend to spend a long time on projects because I tend to want to spend a long time on site in a place before I actually make things, and also procrastinate quite a lot. That was a study of a field in Dublin in city centre, and it was a wetland site. And I walked that, and I walked with different people again, and I did workshops with kids, and we went out and explored the site, and we had nets down drains, and we collected plants again, and I gave them all a sketchbook, and I'm interested in this idea of walking and sketching. Walking, sketching, stopping. So that was great fun. Then out of that process, I've developed a manual. Well, not a manual. It's like an alternative sketchbook that has 12 activities, and it's all based around moving in a space and walking a space and stopping and finding different activities to do in that space. Basis of the equipment is just the sketchbook and a pencil. And then anything else out of that is a bonus, but you don't necessarily have to have it.
I mean, this is the kind of point when, you know, I ask you to recommend a couple of walks.
There's a fantastic walk in Sligo, and it's up to Queen Maeve's grave, and it's near Strand Hill, and you have to drive a bit, and then you park your car, and then you walk on a very rough path, and it's normally quite wet because I think it's a natural water drainage part of the river or something, and then you zigzag up the mountain because it's quite steep. It doesn't take very long. But once you get on top, you have a 360 panoramic view of Sligo Bay, which is absolutely incredible. So that would be one of my favourite walks, actually. Most of the time, I like to walk just to get a bit lost, also. I'm not really kind of be too concerned about getting to the end. And I don't like doing the straight lines, I like doing routes.
So sideways was a bit frustrating, because we were not only sort of guided, but it's definitely an A to B.
Yeah, very strange. Because for me, it would have been much more interesting to have been able to, well, I should have probably taken a little bit more initiative and just stop and go and explore. Well, which is what I did with the botanist. I said to Gertz, I said, we can't do this. There's no way we can look at the plants and go on the straight line. So I said to him, what should we do? And he said, well, let's keep walking, find an area that's quite rich, and stop and collect and look. And that's what we did. So that was fantastic, actually. That was really good.
We've been walking across Belgium, and I think the highest altitude we've achieved is 35 metres, which is probably a little more than a kind of gentle stroll in Sligo, is it?
That's why I was wondering why I was never out of breath. I never once was out of breath. My legs were tired. Yes, that would be nothing. That's just like a pinch. I kind of said to them, where is the countryside? I don't see it. Are you sure this is rural? We found some spots. But then I got quite interested in walking through the houses, actually. Because there was no people as well. That was quite shocking, wasn't it?
It was bizarre, wasn't it?
Very strange. I was saying to the locals, where are all the people? That was bizarre, actually. But interesting.
What's your plans for the future? I mean, you know, we joke about what will happen when you next walk sideways, but actually, what have you got in the pipeline, or what are you planning, or what may have come from your sideways walking that will influence future work?
I think it will, actually. Well, it will very soon, because I've been invited for an exhibition in Galway. It's called Tolka. Curatorial team is landscape, and an artist can interpret that in any way they want to. So I was speaking to the curator and told him about my project in Belgium. So I'm actually bringing this work back with me and developing an installation for that show in Galway. And I think that's going to be quite interesting, because I'm also going to somehow incorporate all the equipment and tools that I brought with me. And so today I'm going to go around and read through some of the books and take down some quotes from the books that's in the walking library, and somehow embed that in the project as well. And then I'm linking different people in the project. So, for instance, I can link your project in the project, my project. So it doesn't become my project anymore. In fact, it's not really my project, actually, which I'm quite interested in. So I think that would be good. So that's my next step.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Christine Mackey. If you have any views on this interview or on any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.